I want to draw your attention tonight in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, the verse 25. The verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. The house of salvation is our subject tonight. The house of salvation. This verse is part of the answer to that inquiry of a certain man who asked, are there few that be saved? And the answer, of course, is that many will indeed perish. Many, I say unto you, verse 24, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Yes, few are saved. Therefore, strive to enter in, the Lord Jesus Christ says. And to back up this teaching, and especially the urgency to strive, the Lord Jesus gives this word in our text this evening. It's a kind of a parable, isn't it? The master and his house. And so he's using a kind of a word picture to set forth profound truths that will press upon men the urgency to be saved. Let us carefully look at it then. Under that description, the house of salvation. Because really that's what the matter is about, isn't it? Wasn't the question about being saved? And so we can call this the house of salvation. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to is the master of the house. Because the text talks about the master of the house. When once the master of the house is risen up, there's a master. Only one. This house has only one master. And of course the master is the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say to his people and to all of them who are inside this house? Neither be ye called masters, he said. For one is your master, even Christ. And so he says it himself. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. So he's the master of the house. This expression, master of the house, is only one word in the original. It's a compound word, of course. And it occurs 12 times in the New Testament. Always in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes it is translated householder. Sometimes it's translated the good man or the good man of the house. And the interesting thing is that it only ever comes out of the mouth of Christ. He's always using this word. He likes this word. The good man of the house, the householder, the master of the house. And he brings it into his illustrations and stories quite a bit. You remember how he said, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? And so the Lord Jesus is the master of the house. And we who believe in him are his household. We're in his house. We're in his house of salvation. And the enemies of God outside there, very many of them will call our master Beelzebub. And they will blaspheme his holy name. And so we need not be surprised whenever we're called names, since the master of the house was. And so you see how the Lord Jesus applies this term to himself. And that's what Christ is, the master of the house. He's in and over the house of salvation. And the Father has put into his hands, into the hands of his Son, all things. And he's given him all responsibility of this matter of salvation. He's made him the householder and the only householder. And he's given him the keys, and he only has the keys. And he has the charge of us all, and he is supremely the good man of the house. He also used this expression to describe the man who was responsible for that house in which the upper room was for the Last Supper. You remember the Lord had the Last Supper, and to really treat his disciples, he arranged a rich house in the expensive end of Jerusalem. And you remember how he led his disciples to it? He says, "Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters. And then ye shall say unto the good man of the house," the one responsible for it, the one in charge of it, the one who sees to all its fittings and that everything is there, "say to him, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished." So the good man of that house has prepared the guest chamber, he's prepared the upper room, he's prepared it for Jesus and his disciples. It was the householder that did that. Everything was furnished and all things were ready. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that householder for us. And that brings us to the second thing, the house, which he has furnished and of which he is the master and the good man. He has a house, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father has given him that house. It is going to be richly filled with people. Very many people from the north and the south and the east and the west, as we've read about here in this passage. Multitudes are going to go up into it, this house on the mountain of the Lord, of which he is the householder. It is the house of salvation. And Christ is the good man of it. And just as the good man had the upper room furnished and ready, so in this house our Lord Jesus Christ has all things ready. He has all the provisions in. He is everything that is needed for man's salvation. He has all things therein contained, essential for the sinners to be saved. He's left nothing out. He's a good man of the house. He has carried out his responsibilities well as this master. There's no shortage. There's nothing lacking. The good man has made it ready for us poor sinners. What work he did to furnish it too. By his life, by his death especially, by his sacrificial work on the cross and by his blood atonement, he hath furnished it to completion. The final pieces were set in place on the cross. And at last the good householder was able to say, "It is finished. All things are ready. I have built and furnished my house. Wealth and riches are in his house, and grace and glory. It is fully provided for. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table." That's what Jesus Christ has done for us sinners. All that you need is therein contained. Light. How we need light. Light to illuminate us. Light to make us see. Light to show us our sinfulness and to show us the glories of this master of the household. And all the light that we dark sinners ever could need or find is all in there, in Christ. He's the light of the world. and he has light in his house to illuminate us. And his precious blood too. His own precious blood which he shed for us. The laver of salvation. The laver for washing in. The atoning blood that alone washes away our sins. He has provided that in this house so that all who enter in shall be cleansed. But he not only has blood to cleanse us and wash us. Oh, he has righteousness to clothe us. Righteousness to make us look as priests and kings unto God. He has righteousness to justify us. Righteousness imputed to us so that as the Heavenly Father comes and sometimes visits a house, he sees no spot in his people. And Christ has furnished the wedding garment in this house where we go in and we get clothed with the garments of salvation and with the robe of righteousness. It's only found in this house. And Jesus Christ alone has provided it. And then he has his oil. Oh, richly provided with the oil of gladness to anoint us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. Blessed be his name, the good householder who supplies with the rich supplies of the oil of anointing and his covenantal promise and all the charters of salvation on the wall and all the documents and testimonies to comfort us, provided for all over the place that we can read for our assurance and our comfort. Oh, the householder has furnished it well. He doesn't even want us to have a doubt or a fear in this house. And then he has a seal for us, even the seal of the Holy Spirit, which can never be removed from his people. And then there's the rod of correction. Because whom he loves, he chasteneth. And that's provided for in this house so that he would make us holy and will not suffer sin in us. And then I see rod and staff as well, and how sweet they are when we have it one by one to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I see rod and staff there are provided for us too when we have to make that awful journey. All things are ready. Everything's provided for. Nothing is left out. And best of all, himself. Always present at the table. Always there, even as he said, the good householder who never leaves the place. And I am with you always, even on to the end, and with Christ forevermore. And so, you see, it's so wonderful, this house of salvation. Why would anybody ever want to remain outside and not come in? You remember how he said in the parable, he sent forth servants. The householder sent forth servants, and he said, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready, come. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all freely, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And it's all in this house. And that's why the psalmist David, whenever he got into it, what did he say? Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my householder. I'm at his table. It's always full. Even my enemies can never clear it. My cup runs over all the time. He anoints my head with oil. I shall not want, he says. He's talking about the householder. The good man of the house. The young lions do lack and they suffer hunger, but I tell you, they that seek this good man shall not want any good thing. And not only is he the good man who provides for the house and has everything that we need. And let me pause there, sinner. Everything you need is in Christ. Will you not come to him?
Will you not fly into the house to find him and embrace him? Make him your Lord.
But he's also the good man who watches and keeps his house and doesn't allow it to be broken up and destroyed. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus said, "This know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." And this good man is always watching. And he doesn't allow the thief or the Satan to break through and destroy his house. He says, "I'll build my church. I'll build my household. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus is always watchful and vigilant. The Lord shall not sleep. Isn't that what the Psalm 121 says? That's the kind of householder he is.
Safety and security all the time. "I give unto my sheep eternal life. They'll never perish. No Satan or anyone else will come along and pluck them out of my house."
No, he does his job well, I tell you. He is the good man of the house supremely. But then the third thing that I draw your attention to, not only the master, not only the house of which he is the master, but I have to draw your attention to the door. There's a door, you see. The text says, "Once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door." There's a door, and it presently is open. It's an open door. He hasn't risen up yet, you see. He hasn't gone to the door yet to shut it. It's an open door. That's what the text is saying. It's only one door, mind you. Only one. "He that goes in by another door is a thief and a robber, a stranger, not known by the house, and he'll chase him away." But there's one door, one legal entrance, one proper entrance. Just one. It's an open door, and all are invited within. The open door, you see, declares a free access. It's never shut. Never shut. Because he's never risen up yet. All have free access. All are welcome. And into this house of salvation many are coming. Even as Isaiah predicted, "The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it," to the house, mind you. That's not in Jerusalem. That's where Christ is. At the right hand of God, in the house of salvation. "And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob." They're going to the Savior, you see. And this door is open day and night continually. The Bible says it'll not be shut day nor night. "A man may bring on into it the forces of the Gentiles, and even kings can be brought in." It's open, and Christ sits within, ready to receive, ready to serve the poor sinner, ready to wash away his sins, ready to clothe him with righteousness, ready to set him at his own table, the king's table, ready to feed our souls, ready to anoint us. Oh, such a Redeemer have we in Jesus Christ. He's a ready Savior. And the door is not just open, which in itself is an invitation, but throughout the realm he sends out ambassadors, and he invites, and he calls, and it says he sent forth his servants. Tell them to come. Tell them everything's ready. Bid them to enter in. And he sends out his messengers into all the earth. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father," he says. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm the one in charge of all. I'm the one who has possession of all. I'm the one who has all the provision given to me by my Father to be the Redeemer and Savior of men. Come unto me, therefore," he says, "and I'll give you rest in my house." And in that last great day, he's in the temple of the Lord. And all the symbolism and all the shadows are only taking place there. Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. My door's open. My door's open all the time. Come. Come. I have the wells of salvation in my house. Those waters poured out at the altar, they've only come from the pool of Siloam. But I have the wells and waters of salvation in my house. Come unto me. The Spirit and the bride say, come outside this door. And let him even that hears say, come and join in the hearty invitation. And let everyone that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come. It's an open door. And the invitations are rich and plentiful. And the appeals are continual. But fourthly, I want you to observe that one day something different is going to happen. One day the master of the house is going to rise up. When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door, all things aren't going to continue, men and women, as they are presently. He is set down in his house now, ready to receive all the sinners that come in. It's a day of grace. It's a day of opportunity. It's a day of long suffering. The door's still open. It's a day of salvation. And he has sat long because it's been a long day of salvation. Long in human history. Thousands even of years the Lord has sat as generation has come and generation has gone. And he sat long even in your life. The door is open still in your life. And the Lord is still sitting in his house and calling you to come to him, to come in and sit at his feet. But I have to say to you tonight, because the text says he won't always be sitting. Because one day he's going to rise up. Rise up off his seat. There's going to be a great rising. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, because the door is open now, and now is the time. But I have to say, the master of the house is rising up soon. The time will soon be no more. The end of all things is at hand. And when he rises up, opportunity is over. Your death day is approaching. He rises up to take you away in death. That's coming soon. Don't fool around outside this door. You need to get in. The Lord's going to rise up. And then he's going to rise up in the great coming at the last day, isn't he? The last day is coming upon us too. The master is rising up not only to take away men and death, but he's going to rise up to judge the world. And you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It will take us by surprise. And when all men outside are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As the master of the house rises up, you have to be warned tonight. You fly to him before he rises up. The next thing is the shut door. When once the master of the house has risen up, what happens next? He goes to the door and he closes it. It's a shut door now. Hundreds of years open, generation after generation open in grace. But now's the time. The good man shuts the door. The door's not going to be open forever. Don't fool around.
He opened it. He kept it. He invited at it. He welcomed all in through it.
But one day, the last person will enter.
One day, the last one will come in who is to come in, and he will know it.
And when that last one comes in, up he goes, and the door shut. He'll shut the door. He opened it in his marvelous grace, and only he can shut it. No man can shut this door. No minister can shut it, no matter what he says. No priest, and not even the Pope himself, can shut this door. Only the master of the house has authority to rise up and shut his door of salvation. We can't shut the door to anybody. Who would we even want to do it? No. But he can do it. And he will.
While they went to buy, he said in another story, another parable, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage. But the door was shut. The door was shut. And when the door shut, the announcement will be, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's it. Time's up. Door shut. Continue filthy to all eternity. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. The sixth thing is that the shut door does things. This shut door is noticed. This shut door gets a response.
I tell you, when the Lord shuts the door, you'll know it. You'll know it. Especially if you're on the outside of it.
Obviously, it leaves those within in a state of safety and security, blessed forever with Christ, which is far better. He shuts the door and he's in with them forever and ever. They have a blessed state. Safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. But he doesn't enlarge on that side of the door. He's speaking to a man who is not a Christian on the other side. And he enlarges on that side of the door. And those he calls standing without. When once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without. Do you see what's happening? The people are realizing the door's shut. And they're standing without. They're gathering around the door. It reminds us a bit like Noah's Ark, doesn't it? It must have been something like this. You remember whenever all the animals went in and at last Noah and all the rest of them, and the Bible says, the Lord shut them in. And yes, Noah and his family were shut in safe, but in the shutting of the people of God in, the Lord also shut the wicked out. And when the rain come, they are beginning to stand at the door and to knock and to call on to the heavenly type of Jesus Christ, the rescuer, Noah, the restful one, to call on to him, open, open unto us. It reminds us of that scene, no doubt. Men are going to be shut out, and many men are going to be shut out. And the man who asked this question knew this. Not all will be saved. Here it is in the text. Not everybody's going to be saved. There are people shut out, and they're standing without.
The description that the Lord gives of those who stand without is graphic. Notice the word begin. It's a very important word. And ye begin to stand without. Now they begin. After the Lord has arisen, after the door was shut, after the rain started to fall, after the judgment commenced, after the fire began to descend, then they began to stand at the door. Isn't it pitiful? Then they begin to congregate. Then they begin to form little churches outside the door. But it's too late. It's too late. Standing without the shut door, it's a sad sight. It's a terrifying spectacle. And not only standing without, too late, the door shut, they're knocking too. Because these are desperate sinners. And they're knocking at the right door. It's the right door they're at now. They weren't interested in when it was open. They didn't even have to knock when it was open. They just had to go in. But they weren't interested then. They're only beginning now. Sinner, you need to begin now to find Christ. While the door's open. Don't think you're going to leave it to begin some other time. And it's too late when you begin. These are beginners, but they've begun too late. Too late. Sinner, don't leave it too late. They're knocking in desperation. And they're praying too. Do you see it? Saying, Lord, Lord, it's a desperate prayer. They're trying to take heaven by storm now. They're trying to take it by violence now, but it's too late. Lord, Lord, such fervency now in prayer, but it's too late. Lord, Lord, open unto us. They're praying to the right person, and they're praying with the right words, and they're praying at the right place. But it's too late. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. It's too late. He didn't answer them in this matter that they were seeking. They were seeking an open door, and he didn't answer them in that matter. The door never opened, no matter how hard they knocked. No matter how long they prayed, no matter how fervent their prayers were, you need to strive now, sinner. Not when it's too late. The Lord says, I will bring evil upon them, the sinners, which they shall not be able to escape, and though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. They shall cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time. Therefore it shall come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and now God says, I will not hear. Sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ has cried on to you endlessly in the gospel. He has sent invitations out to you profusely to come in and repent and believe. And you haven't hearkened. There'll come the day when you'll cry unto him. And he won't hearken. So he didn't answer them in this matter that they requested. The open door. Seventhly, while the good master does not answer their request, he does give them an answer. They're knocking, They're saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto them, or you, I know you not whence you are. It's like Matthew's gospel and the parable of the virgins, the foolish virgins. He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You see, they're on the other side of the door. The Lord doesn't know them. When the door was open, they didn't come in. For him to get to know them. They had never been in the house of salvation. They had not known him, and he was not known by them. He never washed them. If the Lord washes you, he knows you. He had never clothed them. He didn't know where they came from. He had never clothed them. He never sealed them with his Holy Spirit of promise. He knows them that are under his wings, but these ones outside, I don't know you. I'm not familiar with you. You have never been in here. I'm the good shepherd, you see, and I know my sheep, and they're all in here with me, but I don't know you. Does the Savior know you? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. For the Lord knoweth the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And the foundations of God stand sure, and it has this seal upon it, imprinted by his divine pen. One thing is certain. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth them. But you, I don't know you. No matter what they shall say, no matter how they shall interject, and they do interject because they're desperate. We've eaten and drunk in your presence. You've taught in our streets. But always it's the same answer. Whatever the interjection, I say unto you, I never knew you. The minister might have knew you. The priest might have knew you. The church might have knew you. The rule book of the church might have known you. But Jesus doesn't. The story then of the master, his house, the door, his raising, his closing and shutting, and his finally sending away those who foolishly threw away their long opportunity to come in to get to know this goodly master while the door was open. Don't let that story be your story. Don't delay. Don't neglect so great salvation. Strive to enter in, as Jesus says. And that means just get in. Just get in. And let nothing keep you from Christ.